Gathered here today, and also those of you joining us via our Facebook telecast. Now think about that. Good things come from troubles. You can even find something good hiding inside the bad things. And look what's happened to us as a consequence of this pandemic. First Presbyterian Church is now broadcasting our worship service and the good news of Christ worldwide. So welcome to all of you at home on Facebook. Now, this is a beautiful Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to all of you. Maybe a chilly one, but the Lord has made a good day to snuggle up with somebody you love. Now, the weather tonight's going to get bad, and need to make an announcement that if anybody needs help at home or is worried about their pipes, you need to call us. Telephone number 465-3930, and we'll get somebody out to take a look at your pipes. If you lose power over the next day or two, don't stay home alone and in the dark. Call us. And we'll get somebody out to pick you up, get you to a safe place. Number is 465-3930. There was some discussion late this week about canceling our worship service today. But pretty quickly, we got told from June and Debbie that, dare I say, come hell or high water, we're going to have worship service. So here we are today, and June and Debbie, thank you. Thank you, and you have carried us through this year, and thank you so much. You're Christ warriors. Today is also Transfiguration Sunday. I didn't know this until earlier this week, but traditionally, the Presbyterian Church recognizes the Sunday before Lent as Transfiguration Sunday. I'm not going to tackle the Transfiguration today. It's one of the few times recorded in the Bible that God himself was actually witnessed standing alive and present on the earth. And it was witnessed. One of those witnesses was the disciple John, who is the writer of our scripture lesson for today, which, make a note, we'll get back to that in a minute. And he did write about the transfiguration, but that's over my head. And I will leave it to you to read what John wrote about it. However, this is Transfiguration Sunday, and I wanted to remind you of that. I also have a story I'd like to share with you, and I think it's okay to tell this because I told him about it back when it happened. A few years ago, Brian was preaching on the Transfiguration. Well, I looked over at the choir, and one of these big spotlights up here was shining directly on Frank. And there he was in his choir robe and his white hair, and Frank was shining bright white, just like the Transfiguration. As Brian might say with one of his word jokes, "Frank, you are a shining example for my sermon." So we have a few announcements. First, an update on Reverend Newton. Steve's shoulder surgery went well, and he is now home and texting, but with only one hand. He still has rehab therapy before Steve will be back to his old self, and we hope to have him back as a guest minister soon. In fact, he's tentatively volunteered to conduct our service on March 1st so we can have communion as usual on the first Sunday of the month. So wish you well, Steve. Also, a thanks to Reverend Ainsworth for filling our pulpit last week and for administering the sacrament of communion for us and for the ordination of our elders and for our congregational meeting and later for moderating our session meeting. Jim had a full day. What Jim didn't mention is that last Saturday, before he was here, was his brother's funeral. And so it was quite a sacrifice for Jim to be here. And Reverend Ainsworth, we're grateful for that. Thank you. Okay, let's see. Last night was supposed to be our PLC Mardi Gras celebration, but as you know, it has been rescheduled and moved to April when more vaccinations and fewer cases exist. Keep that event and our PELC in your prayers. And while we're on the topic, the Presbyterian Early Learning Center has already announced they will be closed tomorrow because of the weather. The Mosaic Center is searching for a new program director. And if you don't know, the Mosaic Center is a Christian-oriented ministry helping adult women learn to get their lives back on a positive path by teaching job skills and personal life skills. So if you or someone you know might be interested in their program director position, please call the Mosaic Center. One more thing, and this is, I think it's a welcome announcement, and I think it's a sign that things will soon be back to normal. Mo Ranch is accepting family applications for their summer program. So, if you didn't receive the announcement that was emailed out earlier this week, call the church office for the reservation number at Mo Ranch. Are there any other announcements? Very well. Then come, let us worship the Lord. May the peace of Christ be with you and also with you. Please join me in prayer. Father, thank you for this day that we can gather together in worship. We are continually amazed and in awe of the power of your creation. Bless us and keep us safe in the next few days as we experience the awesome power of your earth. Open our hearts to accept your grace through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. Amen.
Please join me in the call to worship, which is from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 19 through 26. I'll also be reading the People's Version so that it's picked up by the live stream. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what they stumble over. My child, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Keep straight the path of your feet, and all your ways will be sure.
Well, faithful few, it's good to see you here. And we are going to raise our voices in song by singing hymn number 139, Come Thou Almighty King, Stand If You're Able.
Come Thou
Join me in the prayer of confession found in the bulletin. Mighty and merciful God, you have called us to be your people and claimed us for the service of Jesus Christ. We confess that we have not always lived up to our calling. We have been timid and frightened disciples, forgetful of your powerful presence and the strength of your Spirit among us. Forgive us for acting as if we have no hope, for when we behave as if this world is all there is. Forgive us our foolish ways, as you have chosen us and claimed us in our baptism. Strengthen us anew to choose Christ's way in the world. Amen. Again, this is a reminder that for those here, if you have your offering, there are plates in the narthex, and you can offer them online again going to our website. And the Facebook page has a link to the website for online offerings. Our Old Testament reading today is from Genesis chapter 35, verses 9 through 15. God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram, and he blessed them. God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. No longer shall you be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name." So he was called Israel. God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall spring from you. The land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give to you, and I will give the land of your offspring after you." Then God went up from him at a place where he had spoken with him. Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, a pillar of stone. And he poured out a drink offering on it and poured oil on it. So Jacob called the place where God had spoken with him Bethel.
Join me in prayer, if you will, please. Lord Jesus, you teach us the way of the pure of heart, that we might see God more clearly and to love God more fully. Help us to overcome the weakness of sin in our lives that prevent us from loving you and others with all our heart. Give us patience, perseverance, and guidance in your loving mercy for those sinful habits that we find difficult to overcome. Help us to know that your love for us is greater than our capacity to sin. We offer our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now for our children's moment this morning, My grandchildren like to read books. And one of the books they do like to read is children's Bible stories. So what we're going to do today, we're going to read a story from our children's Bible. But before we read that story, let's talk a minute about that story. Our story today is the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. You ever seen a well? In the old days, they didn't have pipes and faucets that gave us water in our house. So they'd dig a deep hole, and if the well was dug deep enough, water would seep into the hole at the bottom. And it was hard to dig a hole that deep. So there would usually be only one well in every little town, and everybody got their water from the well they all shared. Now, I've never seen a well like that. I don't know if you have or not. But I do know that it hasn't been too long ago when wells were pretty common. My grandmother's house was built without water and electricity, so she had a well before me. And I know this because the water pipes and the wires in her house were outside the walls where you could see them. The wires and the pipes had been added to her house many years after the old house was built. They weren't inside the walls like they are today. So, a well was a deep, deep hole full of water at the bottom. Now, that's pretty dangerous, isn't it? Because you might fall in that well. So what did they do? Well, they built a little stone wall around the well hole so little guys like you or dogs or sheep wouldn't fall in the well. The little stone wall was to keep the well safe, but it was also a pretty good place to sit and rest. In our story today, which we'll get to in just a second, Jesus and his disciples had been traveling all morning, and they came to a town at about lunchtime. There was a water well on the edge of town, and Jesus and sent his disciples into town to find something to eat for lunch. But Jesus stayed behind. He sat down on the little well to wait and to rest. So now let's read our story and see what happens. The hot midday sun beat down as Jesus waited for his disciples by the well in Samaria. He was tired and very thirsty. A woman came plodding towards the well, her water pot on her head. She was startled to see Jesus. No one was usually around the well at noon. Jesus asked her, "Would you give me a drink of water?" Now the woman was really surprised. She could see that Jesus was a Jew, and Jews did not speak to Samaritans, especially a Samaritan woman. "You mean you would be willing to accept a cup of water from me, even though I'm a Samaritan?" she asked. "Whoever can you be?" Jesus told her, "If you knew that, you would ask me for a drink. I would give you living water." "You haven't even got a bucket," said the woman, laughing. "How do you think you'd draw your wonderful water from the well?" Jesus said, "The water I give is different from the water in this well. If you drink the water I give, you will never be thirsty again. It will satisfy your deepest needs." "Well, that sounds good," the woman agreed. "It would save me coming to the well every day." "Then why not get your husband to do it?" Jesus suggested. Because I haven't got one," the woman retorted sharply. "I know that," said Jesus. He knew all about this unhappy woman. You've been married 5 times, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. The woman was astonished. Jesus knew all about her. Her eyes got big. She put down her water pot, and she ran back to town. Come and see the most amazing person, she told everyone. He has told me everything about myself. I think he might be the Messiah. Now the townsfolk were full of curiosity, and they followed her back to the well. When they realized who Jesus was, they said, please stay here for a few days and tell us all about the good news you have brought. And Jesus did. He did stay. After they had all heard what he had to say, they told the woman, you are right. And now that we have seen and heard Jesus for ourselves, we are certain that he is the Messiah, the one God has sent to save the world. I like this story. It's a great story because it tells us a couple of things. It tells us that Jesus was very friendly and that people were glad, even excited, to see him. It also tells us that the good news of Jesus is here for all of us. It was here for the woman at the well, and it's here for us today. So let's say a prayer. Bow your heads. God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to be with us just like Jesus was with the woman at the well. Open our hearts and make us just as glad to have Jesus as the woman and the townspeople were. Amen.
Now for the adult version of the same story, will be in John chapter 4, verses 5 through 42. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus was tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it? Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come back. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husband. For you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true, the woman said to him. Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and it is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in him, in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, What do you want? Or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, Surely no one has brought him anything to eat. Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans came from the city, believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Michael. You know, it used to bother me that the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, used to bother me they were written 60 years or more after the events of Jesus' life. Used to bother me because how could they possibly be accurate after all those years had passed? You know, it doesn't bother me that much anymore because the older I get, I've been thinking about stuff that happened to me years and years ago. 60 years ago for me, you know, it's really not that long anymore. I wonder how far back you can remember. What's your earliest childhood memory? And I can remember things that happened to me as early as when I was 4 years old. I can't remember much, not many things, but I can remember some things. I think an event in your life has to make a special impression on you if you're going to remember it. My grandfather had a couple of antique cars, and even then they were antiques. He had a T-model Ford and a Model A convertible, wooden spokes on the wheels. That T-model, it was just a little tiny tin can of a car, but it ran. And I remember going with Granddaddy and riding in that car in a parade when I couldn't have been more than 4 years old. He died shortly after that. So if we are old enough, we all remember where we were when they landed on the moon. Here in East Texas, we all remember when the space shuttle Columbia crashed. I remember when my second grade teacher came into the classroom and told us that President Kennedy was gone. There might be a few of us here who remember when President Roosevelt died or even remember VE Day. So we remember the things that made an impression on us. The Gospels written 50 or 60 years after Jesus. They don't seem to be as problematic to me today as they once did, because we do. We remember the significant things. And we know that the Gospels are not a journal of the life of Jesus. They are excerpts of his life, excerpts representing the things and the events that made an impression on the writer. And the things that the writer included to make an impression on us. Well, it worked, because after 2,000 years, we are still enraptured with the words of the Gospels. So you remember things. John remembered the visit to the little town, and he wrote about it. It was important enough to John that he included this story in his story of Christ. So something must have been important about this incident. Let's see what we can figure out. But first, let's revisit John. John, the writer of this gospel, let's revisit who he was. And John had a brother named James. And both James and John, both of them, they were with John the Baptist out in the wilderness, living on locusts and honey, and baptizing people in the Jordan River and preparing the way for Jesus to launch his ministry. Now, John the Baptist, he could holler. And just in case there's anybody in Michigan or New England who's listening to this on Facebook, maybe I need to define holler. He could speak in a powerful voice, with authority, with conviction, with power. Baptist ministers today, they like to emulate John the Baptist. They do a lot of hollering, even today. And I should tell you that Jen won't go to a Baptist church service because she doesn't like all that hollering. She likes Presbyterians. John and his brother James, they were there when Jesus was baptized, and they came with Jesus when he launched his ministry. They became disciples. It's always been interesting to me. Jesus called John and James his sons of thunder, which tells me John and James must have picked up some of that Baptist minister in them from John the Baptist. But there's also a little bit of tongue-in-cheek to this, maybe a little bit of teasing. I think most of us think of Jesus and his disciples as deadly serious men, but maybe that's not always fair, because right here you can see a side of Jesus that gets overlooked. Jesus could tease, and Jesus had a sense of humor. There aren't many jokes recorded in the Bible, but calling James and John his sons of thunder, that was a little bit of a tease. Jesus could make a joke. It was an honorable joke that made people smile, made them feel good inside. Nevertheless, it was still a joke. So John became one of the inner circle of Jesus' disciples. And as mentioned earlier, John witnessed the transfiguration. Now, this is John's story. John tells us what happened that day at the well, and Michael read it for us. Jesus and his disciples were traveling back to Galilee, and they came to a little town with a well. Jesus sat down and waited at the well. He sent the others into town to find the marketplace, buy some food. Now, how they had come to find themselves here in this little town, I don't think that was an accident. Jesus and his disciples had been in Jerusalem for the Passover feast. John tells us about that in the previous chapter. He tells us about what happened in Jerusalem. The disciples were preaching and teaching and baptizing there in Jerusalem, and John makes it a point to tell us that Jesus was not baptizing, but his disciples were. And Jesus made a scene. Jesus made a whip. He made a whip with his own hands. And he used it to chase all the sacrificial livestock off the temple grounds and then proceeded to wreck the money changers' tables. What did he say? You have defiled my Father's house. Oh, so Passover had ended. And people had come to see Jesus and the disciples and were baptized. And Jesus had made a scene at the temple. And now they were traveling back to Galilee. I can't believe they got out of town without being arrested. But they did. It happened so quick, so unexpected, that maybe the Jewish authorities didn't know what to do. But it sure got their attention. It got the attention of a lot of other people, too. People were coming to know this man, Jesus. They were talking about him. A little geography. Back in those times, Judea was divided into three Roman administrative districts. The southern district was headquartered in Jerusalem. That's where Herod ruled at the time of Jesus' birth, and that's where Pilate ruled at the time of his crucifixion, down in the southern part of the region. And then there was the northern district. That was Galilee, including the town of Nazareth. That's where Antipas ruled. Antipas would soon arrest John the Baptist. We know what happened then. And then there was a third region, the central region in between. The central region was Samaritan country. And that's where Jesus and his disciples were traveling in this story. Jews didn't usually do that. The usual route was to the east and then follow the Jordan River back up to Galilee. That's where everybody else was traveling. That's the same route that Mary and Joseph were following when they realized that 12-year-old Jesus was missing, and they had to go back to Jerusalem to find him. But Jesus had made the decision to take the overland route through Samaritan country, separate from all the other Jews. Maybe he didn't want to be among the many travelers along the Jordan. Maybe he wanted to give them some elbow room. Maybe he wanted them to be talking about him and what they had seen and what he had done at the temple without his presence or his interference. So they were separate from normal travel route. As for the Samaritans were an offshoot of the same ancestors as the Jews, Abraham and Jacob, but they had long ago rejected the structured religious practices of the Jews. They worshiped God, the same Jehovah as the Jews, but they didn't associate with Jews. Jews didn't associate with them. Actually, they hated each other. Still do. So, pilgrims traveling between Galilee and Jerusalem, they avoided Samaritan country and they took the Jordan River route. Not Jesus. Not this time. Not on this trip. I want to bring up something else right here. I think these guys were happy travelers. I think they were excited and motivated and looking forward to the future with Jesus. John didn't write it down for us, but I would sure have liked to have heard the talk that morning among the disciples and Jesus as they left Jerusalem and walked into the Samaritan countryside after what had happened and what they had seen and experienced in Jerusalem. So Jesus headed straight into Samaritan country. I think there are a couple of other reasons he did this besides giving some elbow room to the travelers on the Jordan to talk about him. First, the Samaritans were at odds with the Jews, so the Samaritans would be a receptive audience to Jesus's brand new version of God, his good news of love and eternal life. And as it turns out, we know this to be true because the Samaritans in the town welcomed Jesus once they figured out who he was. Jesus and his disciples ended up staying in the town for 2 days, talking and teaching and learning from Jesus. It was a good place. It was a happy time. Now, the second thing and the second reason, maybe that's important for us today, 2,000 years later, I think this may be what John was trying to convey when he wrote this message. You see, this was not just another Samaritan village. This was the location of Jacob's well, not just any old well, but Jacob's well. John made it a point to tell us that. We read in our Old Testament passage this morning about God telling Jacob that his name was no longer Jacob. From now on, you will be called Israel. And in that same passage, just a little bit before that, Jacob, now Israel, documented in Genesis, Jacob purchased the very land where this well was dug. That well's still there, by the way. It's in the basement of a Greek Orthodox church. Now, possession of that well's been fought over for over 1,000 years, including Saladin during the Crusades. According to the biblical timeline, Jacob purchased that land around 1900 BC, about 4,000 years ago. And that well would have been dug sometime after that. So, when Jesus was sitting there, it would have been a working well for over 1,000 years. And for the record, it's a pretty deep well, just like the woman in that passage said. It's a pretty deep well. It's a big well, 135 feet deep, lined with crude masonry, and standing about 15 feet of water at the bottom. Today it happens to be right in the middle of the annexed West Bank territory of modern Israel. But here's the thing. Jacob's well was then ground zero for the Jewish nation. It's the homestead of the father of the children of Israel. What do we hear this morning? From now on, you'll be called Israel. And from Jacob, of course, sprang the children of Israel. Jacob, or Jesus, sitting there on that well, teasing with that Samaritan woman. And what did he say to her? If you drink water from this well, you will thirst again. But my water, and he's talking about himself, he's talking about Jesus. But my water, this is the living water that fills our void and for which we will never thirst again. Right there, Jesus was rejecting the old ways and ushering in the new. And nothing could be more symbolic of it, a new covenant between God and his people, the good news of love and everlasting life. Not just for the Jews, not for just God's Old Testament chosen people, but for everybody. Not just for the stiff-necked Jews, but for all of us. And one last thing. John did not witness what happened at the well. He didn't see what happened between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Nobody else was there. John learned the story later on in the town, maybe over a supper table. And he closed this passage by telling us what the town people said. And to paraphrase that, the townspeople said, "Boy, we are so lucky to have met and to talk to Jesus ourselves and didn't have to rely on the witness of others." John's talking straight to us. He knew that we would not get to meet Jesus face to face. John told us about these witnesses to Jesus so that we could rely on their witness and the witness of others for our own faith. And 2,000 years later, good news of Jesus, so beautifully recorded here by the disciple John, is still bearing witness for our faith in Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with me together and recite the Apostles' Creed, which is printed in your bulletin? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now, if we wind up doing this long enough, I will figure out how to follow the bulletin and keep up with this. Our hymn, My Shepherd Will Supply My Need, hymn number 172.
Your house be my abode.
Please be seated. Join me in prayer, if you will. Father God, we can't see you, and we weren't there in that little town in Samaria. Give us the faith of those witnesses to Christ that still shine today through your word. We come now saying together the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to add one more benediction hymn. If you would stand and join us. Debbie, where are we on that?
Well, the words are in our hymnal, number 540. It's just not the tune we're going to use. It is God be with you till we meet again.
God be with you till we meet again. Loving counsels guide, uphold you with a shepherd's care.
This concludes our service for this morning. Go with God and in peace.
Amen.
And stay warm this week. Amen.